This podcast is being recorded on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation and the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We recognise their ongoing connection to land, waters and culture, acknowledge that colonisation and genocide are ongoing processes that continue to this day. Sovereignty was never ceded. This always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
Hello and welcome to Auspulse NACpod, the podcast where we bring you bite-sized chunks of Australian politics and news with a side of crispy memes. We're also the official podcast of the Auspulse Shitposting Facebook group. So if you hear us talking about the group or the page or talking about some exciting memes that you have never seen, just go ahead and join. You can go to facebook.com/groups/AuspulseShitposting. My name is Noon, also known as I Know Funkenstein. I'm the admin of Auspulse Shitposting, and with me is my co-host.
Hey, I'm Zach Lesnack. I'm just some guy, but Noon very kindly made me a mod on the Auspulse Shitposting group, so I have kind of a title for an honorary title for the podcast, which was generous. Actually, I've got a bit of podcast news, Noon.
Oh yeah, tell us what's going on.
I discovered a website that ranks podcasts, as in how well they're doing on iTunes. And happy to announce that we are the 105th most popular politics and news podcast in Australia.
So I didn't know there were 105 podcasts in that sector. But
look, we haven't broken the top 100, but I will say our theme song is still better than the Party Rooms.
There's a segment on Friday on RN Drive called The Rap, where they it's Let's Get Quizzical, which I don't know, maybe we could, you should have a listen to that, see if you reckon that we're better than
that.
Put
it out that we have better segment names than the ABC as well.
That's definitely true, because that's because we're allowed to swear and use copyright Simpsons content.
Good point. Yeah, we're starting strong out the gate. What have you brought for entrees this week, Noon?
This week we're snacking down on the alleged corruption of Liberal MP Gladys Liu. So this is a big news story, and we don't want to spend too much time on it because it's just been completely all over the papers, and I don't think we've got vastly more insight into it than most of the mainstream media, but it's such a big story that we can't let it go by without talking about it. So Gladys Liu is a first-time candidate or MP for the seat of Chisholm in Victoria. And she is in a bunch of hot water because of an interview she did earlier this week where she said that she couldn't recall whether or not she was a member of the Guangdong Overseas Exchange Association, which is an organization that's sort of run by / sponsored by the Chinese government, that is basically a way of them trying to put people within their influence into powers of positions of power in foreign governments and other sorts of like cultural influence. And, you know, I mean, there's been a lot written about the way that China is trying to affect politics in Australia and elsewhere. And, you know, one big issue is about the Confucius Institute, who do a lot of education stuff. So they're allied with a bunch of universities and that kind of thing, that then they sort of build in pro-China propaganda or whatever. So Gladys has been a member of this organization for 12 years, but couldn't recall.
Well, says you.
Well, she has since admitted that. So she couldn't recall on...
on the interview, she was like, yeah, I don't remember.
And then within the next 24 hours, she'd been like, oh, yeah, it turns out I was.
It's coming back to me now.
For 12 years.
Yeah, the quote was really funny. She said, it can happen. They can put your name on these things without telling you. It's like, super convincing, Gladys.
I mean, there's one level in which I think it's kind of unreasonable for us to expect people from particular like ethnic backgrounds to not be involved with cultural organizations affiliated with that background.
But I don't think that that's really what's at stake here. I mean, look,
true.
I agree that obviously it's important to be careful about the way that you talk about these kinds of issues because it does sort of slip into xenophobia really easily. But I would say that in general, I haven't seen that much of that in the discourse other than what has been deliberately inserted into the debate by Scott Morrison, who is accusing Labor of racism.
And wanting to bring back the White Australia policy. That was pretty impressive. that was the Attorney General, Christian Porter, who said he didn't actually say that they want to bring back the White Australia policy, but he did sort of heavily imply
it. He's a classy guy. Okay. yeah, I mean, incredibly rich for that side of politics to accuse people of racism when it's you know, expedient for them. But yeah, so basically, I mean, the Liberal Party has swung in behind her pretty much completely.
Because they have a one-seat majority. They literally cannot afford to lose her. I think if they had a five-seat majority, they would have dumped her and she would be gone by now.
She's also a bit of a, like, golden goose for the party. Like, she's brought in well over $1 million in donations.
Which, again, people are raising concerns that perhaps some of that may have been, if not ill-gotten, then at least with, like,
that good foreign influence money. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, it doesn't look good for her.
She's also being sued in the High Court, I'm pretty sure, for potentially using signage.
The electoral fraud stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we may get even more exciting bullshit about Gladys in the next couple of months.
Yeah, and it is sad that, like, I mean, she is the first ever Chinese-Australian member of the lower house, and I don't know. I mean, this is all just kind of, it's a bit depressing in that respect.
Yep. I think that's enough of an entree for now, though. There'll be more news about Gladys coming up in the next few weeks and months, I'm sure, so watch this space.
Yeah, or the other spaces where we get our news. If you want to hear about it when it's happening and not a week later, with less detail. Thanks for listening to our podcast, guys.
Yeah,
now it's time for
Shitpost of the Week.
All right, Noon, what'd you bring?
Well, we had a big week of shitposting this week. There was a lot of drama about Extinction Rebellion, who are a climate
AKA
change...
XR.
AKA XR, yep. They're a sort of loose network of people protesting against climate change, and they've done a bunch of direct action. I think they're sort of based in Britain, but they're an international organization. And
yeah, they started in the UK, and I think it's important to point out that they're kind of like they were born out of, like, they were centered around the tactic of getting as many people as possible to agree to be arrested and then take part in massive actions where they would shut down parts of the city and then deliberately get arrested in order to kind of, like, try and overload holding cells. And thereby kind of overload the system and then get their demands listened to that way. So getting arrested and interacting with the cops was, like, a central part of the strategy of the original XR branch that started up in London and successfully shut down large parts of the city on multiple occasions. But they have kind of international affiliate groups that go by the same name but aren't necessarily centrally controlled without, or you know, they don't have kind of like a super hierarchical structure and, you know, people at the head of it making decisions. So there's kind of independent bodies, and we have one in Victoria.
And the issue about police is extremely relevant to these shitposts because they did an action in Melbourne and elsewhere. I think that they ended up getting a bunch of people arrested, and onlookers slash other participants were booing the police and, you know, yelling at them about climate change and shit. And the Extinction Rebellion sort of core leaders or whatever were very angry about this and said that it was sort of official Extinction Rebellion policy to cheer the police and thank them for arresting them. And a lot of people were, like, not super happy about this. And there was a lot of criticism on a number of levels. Some people who thought that Extinction Rebellion shouldn't be thanking police because ACAB, or cops are bastards, or because of other reasons. For example, the implication that XR were making is that people who don't love cops arresting them are, like, bad activists. And there was sort of a long Facebook post that XR made on their Facebook page.
Jesus.
Going on and on about how anyone who boos cops is being violent and doesn't deserve respect and shouldn't be part of their movement and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, you're hurting the cause.
Yeah.
You're hurting the cause, you guys. So there's been just a heck of a lot of shitposting about this on the group this week. Excellent work, everybody. But as always, you know, we've got to sift through the gold to find those real shitpost nuggets. And we've brought a couple of poems this week.
Yeah, we got two that I think we're sharing the prize for shitpost of the week between two of them.
Yeah, we're going to split this one down the middle. Noon, do you want to take the first one?
Sure. So this one's from Bren Kerr Riderick, who we've tried to pronounce his name before. sorry, Bren, but good work with his shitposting. So this is a meme that is a misspelt poem, and it goes like this. I am XR from Melbourne town, and when the coppers start to frown and get upset about our dispute, I get on down, I lick the boot. Okay, and the other poem, Zach.
Yeah, this one's from Josh Gatto. Thank you, Cake Josh. This is a little version of that plum poem that we all love so well. This is just to say I have thanked the cops that were arresting me, and which you were probably booing for acting unjustly. Forgive me. Their boots were delicious. So listening and so reasonable.
That's great work.
That's a top quality shit post right there. I love that one.
good work, Josh. Good work, Bren.
Yeah, and look, I will just say, for any potential, you know, anybody angling for shit posts of the week in the future, text-based poem shit posts work really well on a podcast.
It's true.
Great shit posting. The debate about XR and its relationship to cops and its, you know, position on authoritarianism deserves further discussion, and you definitely don't have time to get into it now. Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit more in future, but keep those fucking amazing shitposts coming and, 1312.
So, Zach, now we've got a bit of an update on some First Nation stories.
Yeah, so just a quick update on two stories that we've been following pretty much every week on the podcast. First up, the Jabiroong Heritage Protection Embassy, who are opposing the Western Highway expansion just a little bit west of Melbourne, where Vic Roads are trying to tear down some sacred birthing trees. So there's been camp up there for well over a year now, and tensions have been rising as the construction date for the highway approaches. And this week, Vic Roads finally came in with cops and started actually physically cutting down trees. So that's the latest development.
So they've lopped off several branches, is that right?
Yeah, and they've started putting up fencing and there's security everywhere. So things are really escalating there.
They really need more people to go up there. So if you're anywhere in the Melbourne, Victoria, southern New South Wales area, they especially need people during the week. So there's, I think there's more people there on weekends pretty regularly. But if you have any opportunity to go up there, please do. There's been some posts in the shitposting group. There's another group that's formed for getting carpooling up to the Jabiroong Embassy. So if you don't have a car or can't drive, there's ways for you to get there. And they just really need bodies on the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're also asking for people to call up Vic Roads and the state government, and most recently the Environmental Protection Agency of Victoria as well, who are actually doing a public consultation at the moment about environmental protection powers are going to come into effect next year, and they're looking for public feedback on that. So if you go to the Jabiroong Heritage Protection Embassy Facebook page, which is just facebook.com/DW Embassy, there's a bit more information about that if you want to show support and do something for them, but you can't actually physically get there. So we'll definitely be doing that. And the other story I wanted to update on is the coronial inquest into the death of Tanya Day, a Yorta Yorta woman from kind of central Victoria, who died in police custody after being arrested under public drunkenness laws when she was asleep on a train. So that inquest has been ongoing for a couple of weeks and her family has been attending. Basically throughout the entire proceedings, the police have been completely unapologetic. They haven't instituted any kind of policy reform or procedural changes as a result of Tanya Day's death, haven't basically refused to take responsibility for her death. So the inquest is now over, and the Day family are calling for a criminal investigation into police negligence, which I think is completely appropriate. The video footage that was released last week of exactly how she died shows that, it's very obviously the fault of the cops. So the findings of the inquest haven't been released yet, but we'll keep following that. And I just wanted to point out one other thing that happened, aside from their kind of general refusal to apologize or acknowledge the hurt that was done. Victoria Police also sent a completely, inexpert and unprepared representative to answer questions about policy and procedure changes.
As in, they deliberately chose someone to go who couldn't answer any of the questions.
This person was sent as a representative of the Chief Commissioner of Police, essentially, to talk about police training and stuff in the wake of Tenney Day's death. And this person was told 2 days before they were due to show up in court that they were going to be representing Victoria Police. And they had absolutely no expertise about training or policy. Like, that's just not what they did. So yeah, this person was sent in order to deliberately derail and deflect. So this is the level of respect that Victoria Police have for these processes that are designed to help keep them accountable. So yeah, I mean, if it takes a criminal investigation to make them accountable, then I think that's what we need.
I think it's also worth noting that Ambulance Victoria appeared in this inquest and were really apologetic and made a lot of admission of their role in Tanya's death. And I just think it's interesting to note the distinction between the police's response, where they close ranks and refuse to admit any kind of guilt or responsibility, versus the ambulance, who are willing to acknowledge their fault and try to change the organization.
Well, absolutely. Like, yeah. Well, that gets to the root, I guess, of what those two organizations are there to do, right? The paramedics are there to actually help people and protect us, and cops, despite
and
what
the
they might
tell
us,
to
that, yeah, they're there to enforce state people. Power. And you can't do that effectively if you are admitting that you've done anything wrong. So yeah, hopefully there'll be, actually more material kind of outcomes from that as time goes on. But those are two stories to keep an eye on. And now we've got a little submission from a listener.
Potluck, where you bring the snacks.
Hi, I just wanted to submit a rant to Oz Pulse Snack Pod. Is something I've been thinking about for a little while. Earlier this year, I switched to Instagram. I couldn't keep up with Facebook. Facebook was taking over my life. I couldn't keep going on it on my phone anymore. I deleted the app, but then I let Instagram infiltrate my life instead. But there's no Ozpol shit posting on Instagram, and I find myself losing track a little of the threads of the day, which the podcast is very good for. But when I do go on Facebook on my computer, I just really feel like there's too many memes. Please eliminate 3. P.S. I am not a crackpot.
Thanks, Coot. Thanks for letting us know about too many memes. We're aware of the meme problem, and we're trying to get a handle on it.
We're also aware of the Instagram problem.
I have no idea what's going on Instagram.
I mean, the problem is that people are on it. People keep telling me to join Instagram because I'm a fucking social media fiend, but I literally forget Twitter exists for weeks at a time. I'm already spending too much time shitposting on Facebook. I really don't need a whole new avenue.
There's too many memes on Facebook already. So, we don't need to expand our meme circle. We appreciate the sentiment, Coot. We're trying to get a handle on the situation. As you can imagine, it's tough. There's a lot of memes to shoot down. They pop up, at twice the rate that we can kind of process them. But we're getting to it. We promise.
And of course, listen to the podcast for the update on the most essential memes of the week. So.
Yeah, I mean, these are the only memes that you really need. If you have some crackpot shit that you want to send into the show, please, we love it. Send us a recording on Facebook, Messenger if you're on Facebook and in the group, or you can email it to us at ozballsnackpot@gmail.com. As we just showed, it can really be about anything, including not very much at all.
Yeah, we love it.
I mean, ideally something Ozpol related.
Or meme related. Either way, it's all
or meme
all
related. That's true. That's true. Cool. All right. So for mains this week, Noon, I think you said you were going to bring some weed brownies.
Yeah, that's right. So this is about the drug testing and cashless welfare cards that the government are trying to bring in for welfare recipients. So, you know, this is everyone on Newstart's last opportunity to have some weed brownies before you start getting tested.
So only take a quarter at first, though.
See how it creeps up. All right. So there are these two policies that the government are bringing out as part of this quote-unquote compassionate conservative welfare. This is a fucked up line that I'm pretty sure George W. Bush invented, where he was like, it's weird. When we do horrible things to the poor, people think that we're bad. So we're going to call it compassionate.
And a term steeped in political history and good policy.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So these are, I think there are two main aspects of this conditional welfare plan, which is what I'm choosing to call it, conditional welfare.
You heard it here first.
So the two aspects, the cashless welfare cards and the drug testing. So the drug testing is going to be rolled out to 5,000 people across three states as a sort of initial test. And so basically these people are on Newstart and the aged pension, and they're going to be tested for a series of drugs. And if they fail that test, their income will be quarantined, possibly with a cashless welfare card. So 80% of their income will only be able to be spent in very limited circumstances, and the rest they'll be able to take out as cash. And if they fail a second drug test, they'll be forced to go to some kind of drug counseling or rehab, which they'll still be receiving their welfare. So
there's because we know we've just got so many empty rehab beds around this country.
Right. So there's an interesting article in The Conversation written by Nicole Lee, who's a professor at the National Drug Research Institute at Curtin University. And so she said that along with this drug testing welfare recipients, the government has announced a $10 million treatment fund. But we need to at least double the $1.2 billion currently spent to just meet the existing demand for voluntary treatment. The other thing is that when you force people to seek rehabilitation, it's extremely ineffective, which surprises literally no one. But forcing people to seek treatment for something that they don't want to be treated is a really great way to waste a lot of money and make people really angry and take more drugs.
And, like, you know, there's obviously conversation. I think this kind of conversation tends to revolve around people with serious addiction problems, and people kind of talk about ICE users as being, you know, regular ICE users as being kind of the main. It's the example that people use when they talk about this stuff. But if you're talking about people on the pension, you know, you've got people who might be using, like, THC as a pain reliever, you know, if they've got, like, late-stage cancer or whatever.
Also,
the amount of people this is going to affect is mind-boggling. And then for the government to be like, it's okay, we'll put another 10 mil in, just fucking insulting. This has nothing to do with helping people get better. This is just about punishing people for accepting money from the government. That's it.
So the other issue is about the cashless welfare card. And so this has been tested in a couple of sites already, and it's going to be rolled out to 22,000 more people. And the idea behind this is that 80% of welfare will only be able to be spent with this card on FPOS, and the other 20% they can get out as cash. So the idea, in theory, is to stop people buying drugs and alcohol and gambling. But
only a problem for poor people.
Of course, Well, that's right. And so, for some reason, they can still buy lotto tickets. That is not one of the things that will be excluded,
Because the government gets a little taste, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they get a taste of all of that stuff, really. They're getting cut in on all the good action.
It's also going to funnel a bunch of money to Coles and Woolies, because this is, the businesses that you're spending the money on with these cards have to be registered as, like, appropriate vendors or whatever. So if you go to a, like, independent grocer to buy fresh produce, you won't be able to spend your money there. But Coles and Woolies can afford to get these, like, special FPOS machines specifically for, like, unworthy poor people. And thus, the money will be able to be spent at Coles and Woolies.
So good. Especially, you know, considering that they are known for drastically inflating the prices of certain items in regional communities and lower income areas as well. You know,
totally.
Water suddenly becomes really expensive and alcohol suddenly becomes really cheap. So, yeah, the awesome. We want to put more control over these people's lives into the hands of these corporations. Sweet.
The other thing is that the cashless welfare card, the government has put $129 million for this rollout.
Fucking
which
hell.
Is literally 13 times more than how much they're spending on rehab. It's just like a ridiculous idea that they're trying to like get people off welfare, which this won't help in the slightest. It's just a way to punish people for being on welfare. So, yeah, these
two... Like, the money can be found when it's even more directly punishing people. If there's, like, a slight chance that the way that we're punishing poor people might actually help them, eh.
Definitely not.
Yeah, sorry, pockets are broke right now.
And
fucking hell.
So, we actually have a best take and blurst take on this subject. So, Zach, why don't you hit that sting?
I will.
It was the best of
takes.
It was the blurst of
takes.
You stupid monkey!
Yeah, we're just gonna. I mean, following on from that, we've got a couple of takes from the bass Lambinator, Jackie Lambie coming in with her trademark combination of extremely good and sensible takes, followed up by something really dumb and stupid,
reprehensible. Yeah,
yeah.
That really is the Jackie Lambie brand, isn't it?
It so is. And listening to her, it's like I'm listening to her, I'm like I get why people like her, and then she's like, ah, yes, but also, did you realize that I am extremely racist? But she does actually answer questions in interviews, which is just so disarming.
Refreshing. Yeah,
this is disarmingly refreshing. That yeah. Anyway, look. So she said that she's not going to support the drug testing of welfare recipients in the upper house. So that's not going to the government's motion isn't going to make it through. Which is great. And her reasoning is, you know, basically what we're talking about, that there's already a huge undersupply of rehabilitation facilities for people who actually already want to get treated. And she was like, I'm not going to support this bill until you can show me the actual new beds that are available. You know, a funding commitment is not good enough. So she's 100% calling them on their bullshit. And that was really good. And then she went on to say, right after that, these cashless welfare cards seem like a great idea, and I'm looking forward to seeing them roll out. So, once again, big tick in the plus column, big tick in the minus column.
Jackie Best Lane. Take and blurst take. Thanks,
Jackie. Best and blurst.
And come on, Jackie.
I will recommend listening to that interview when she said that. It was with PK, Patricia Carvelis on Radio National, and I am not a PK fan, as is show canon. But she does a really good job in this interview with Jackie. I guess it's, you know, nice to, it'd be a bit of a, like a win for an interviewer to have on someone like Lambie who actually answers questions, and in their 15 minute conversation, like they actually talk
get
about a bunch
some
of
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Like that she gets some real answers, and you do get a sense of where Lambie is coming from as a politician and as a person. So yeah, hunt that down and give it a listen. And now we're going to quickly do a little...
You fucked up.
Just going to blow through this real fast. Our Minister for Natural Disasters, David Littleproud, who used to be the Minister for Agriculture last year, he replaced Barnaby, got reshuffled in the new cabinet, said on national radio that he is not sure whether climate change is caused by humans or not. And he kind of doubled down and repeated this on a few different occasions, at one point saying that he, quote, didn't give a rat's ass. Maybe he said didn't give a rat's. Because, you know, he's a country boy. He's authentic. Yeah?
I think
essentially
it's funny
he was
as well,
like,
because. You know, I mean, 5 years ago whenever Tony was in power, this sort of would have made perfect sense that the minister might say something along these lines. But Scott Morrison, before the most recent election, like, decided he was going to at least pretend he believed in climate change. And he was like, yep, the science is settled. It's caused by human activity. Fuck it, we're still going to burn coal and not do anything about it. So, like, there's no kind of, like, reason why Littleproud should be saying this, even from like a fucked up internal conservative logic. reason.
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, I've seen some analysis that has basically been like, this is him desperately trying to avoid the wrath of the hard right of the party. So right. Maybe there is actually an internal political reason for it. You know, like the party line is, okay, we can let Scott acknowledge that climate change exists as long as he doesn't actually do anything about it. But everybody else, keep your fucking mouth shut.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. It's funny also considering that Little Proud himself has like doesn't have a terrible record on acknowledging that climate change exists, which is so fucked that that's something that you have to give a politician credit for in 2019. But when he took over as agriculture minister, he actually started talking about climate change. When it was basically verboten under Barnaby for state ministers to even use the term climate change when they had their national conference where all the state ag ministers would come together with Barnaby. And then when Little Proud took over, he put it back on the table and was like, we need to talk about how, you know, climate change is causing drought and how that's affecting farmers. And now that he's in this kind of more public role, I mean, he's gaffe prone and no one within the party likes him, which makes sense because he's a little milky weasel. But he then in Parliament later, under pressure, was basically like, look, I agree with the science. So it's funny because he fucked up.
But it's also disturbing because we're all going to die in a boiling 6-degree hellscape.
Well, that's it. And these are the kind of, like, this is the way that climate change makes it into the news from the mouths of the government at the moment is with, yep. When one of them is like, I'm not sure that it exists. I mean, I still want to do something about it. Well, sorry, no, it's I'm not sure whether or not it's caused by humans. I still want to do something about it, but I don't care whether it's humans or not, which is, you know, an incredibly stupid position. It's absolutely astounding that these idiots are in charge of what happens to us and the Earth.
Well, I think that's us for the week. Thanks so much for listening. And also, we want to give a shout out to our Patreon supporters. We've got... very close to our $100 goal, and when we hit that $100, we're going to record the real Slim Albo, a rap track that I just sort of wrote offhand.
A little parody verse, yeah.
Real Slim Shady. So,
people loved it, so yeah, we'll record that shit and put it out.
Only need 12 more dollars, so if we get 12 people signing up for $1 or... that 2 people for 10, you'll hear my sick spits and flows.
Yeah, it's going to be awful.
It really will.
Also, we've had a couple of people ask if they can give us one-off donations via PayPal because they are boycotting Patreon, which, fair enough and good
completely
on
you. Completely legit.
You can PayPal us at ozpolsnackpod@gmail.com if you want to keep 100% of your money in the snack pod coffers and out of the hands of those grubby little Patreon people.
We've also had a new review on iTunes, which is lovely. We love getting reviews, and so far all of them have been really nice, so thank you. Zach, do you want to read that one out?
Okay, this is a review by .... 8Z0000. They gave us 5 stars, thank you very much. Zach and Noon are so nice and knowledgeable. Something about the way they explain Australian politics always makes me feel included and involved in the show and in the community. That's really nice. Thank you, N8Z, several zeros.
That's really what we're aiming for, is to make these news stories accessible and the memes entertaining.
And like, I know that even before I start kind of doing some active research on this stuff, specifically to talk about it on the show, a lot of it is new to me. Because there's just so much to know and there's so much garbage to sift through, and our mainstream media institutions are completely incapable of addressing the kind of inherent issues in our political system, I think. So it's important that, we talk amongst ourselves and we all kind of help each other understand. So, yeah, that's totally the whole point of the thing. Thank you so much for your review. If you like the show, listener, please hop onto Apple Podcasts or iTunes and give us the old 5 stars.
Let's see if we can get up from 105 to like 95. That would be very exciting. So if you want to share it to like one or two people, I reckon we'll shoot up the charts. And if you enjoyed the episode, just send it along to your pal who likes memes or hates the Liberals or, you know, anyone.
Yeah, ideally both. And thank you, Noon, for hanging out. It's always a pleasure, mate.
Thank you.
Take it easy. All right.
All right. We'll catch you next week.
keep on snacking in the free world.
Crunch, crunch.